Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. The message today comes from our epistle reading, the letter that John wrote, again starting in the first verse. See what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. This is God's Word. Now, a question I have for you this morning is this. Have you seen those heaven and hell billboard signs on the side of the road as you're traveling down the highway? You know which ones I'm talking about. Those are plain white ones with the black and the red words that ask, if you died today, where would you go? And they usually provide a scripture reference, but they never provide the verse, and they never even give any real context. Nothing really more than that, just a direct question. And I imagine that the goal of them, of these signs, is to wake you up, to shake you up, maybe even prompt you to look for a place to pull over and repent. And maybe even to pause on your earthly journey for just a moment to ensure that your real journey, the one that really matters, is heading in the right direction. And I don't know about you, but for me, these signs seem like a spiritual trap, especially because just a short distance later, there's usually a follow-up sign that reads, you better figure it out before it's too late. Now, in our epistle reading today, John erects his own billboard for us to read as we travel down this road of life, so to speak. But his message, though, on that billboard is completely different. Instead of provoking fear, he instills a sense of wonder. John writes, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we shall be called children of God, and so we are. Do you see how he doesn't start from a place of judgment, but of grace? He isn't asking you where you will go when you die. He's announcing who you already are in Christ. A saint by grace. Someone who has already died and has risen with Jesus. Someone who has already, or who already, belongs to the Father. And his follow-up sign? It's not a command to choose. Instead, it's a reminder of what has already been given. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. Now, if you were not a Christian, which sign would be more appealing to you? The goal of both are the same. It's your salvation, but the approach. The approach between the two could not be any more different. Everyone who hopes in Jesus, that's what John writes. It's an invitation. And one that is rooted in a kind of love that is otherworldly. And that's what John is saying. He's pointing out that the love of the Father is a love that exists nowhere else. And from no one else. It's a love that is foreign to any love that we have experienced. And John's sign, it's, not a call to act, but an invitation to respond to that Father's love, that love. Church Father once said of this verse, he said, "He became what we are, that he might make us what he is." See, Athanasian saw this verse as fulfilled in the incarnation, the Father's love manifest in sending his Son into creation, into our nature, so that we might share his sonship. This love is a love that is not abstract, but very real. A love that is embodied in the Son himself, given for us. And in baptism, it becomes ours personally. And not in some abstract way, but in some sacramental, real way. Through water, through the Word, through the Holy Spirit. Oh, what love the Father has given to us, Jesus, his Son, that calls us, that justifies us, that adopts us. But even as we confess this astonishing love of the Father, this love that has made us his children, our hearts sometimes tremble. We remember our loved ones, those who might have gone before us, but whose faith may not have been visible while they were here. And we wonder, were they good enough? Was their faith strong enough? Are they really with the Lord? And maybe if we're being honest, it turns inward. Will I make it? Will my faith hold when my end draws near? It's in moments like these that the world's billboards start to replace John's. Fear begins to crowd out wonder. Grace gives way to uncertainty. We begin to imagine that salvation depends on the quality of our faith rather than the object of it. That it rests on how tightly we hold on to Jesus rather than how tightly he holds on to us. This is exactly where John offers us assurance. He reminds us that what defines a saint is not the strength of faith, but the one in whom that faith rests. See what kind of love the Father has given to us. That love is Jesus himself. It is a love that comes from heaven through the cross, descends into the grave, and now flows through the baptismal waters to make sinners into saints. It begins with the Father. It's accomplished by the Son. It's applied by the Holy Spirit. There's nothing left for us to add. And even the faith that clings to Christ is itself a gift to us. You see, it's not about human achievement. It's about divine gift. We are saints. We are saints. By grace alone. And we can take comfort in knowing that those who have gone before us already see what we hope for. And this too is a gift from the Father, a gift that we can take comfort in. The same water, the same word that claimed them as saints keeps them safe in Christ. And it keeps you united with them until that day when you see what they now already see. You are God's child. You are His saint by grace. Let us pray. By grace, on this I'll rest when dying. In Jesus' promise I rejoice. For though I know my heart's condition, I also know my Savior's voice. My heart is glad, all grief is flown, since I am saved by grace alone. Amen.